For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, we're going to begin chapter 30 again. Hoi banim sorim. So, again, the hoi is always lamenting some problem that the generation faces, but that these are problems that can be fixed. In other words, the purpose of the prophet is not just to be the bearer of bad news. That's not the idea is that we have a rule that a prophecy that predicts something bad can always be changed. In fact, that's what happened with Yonah, if you remember, when he said the city will be overturned. And we have a rule that a bad prophecy can always be changed. A good prophecy is not changed. Hashem says something good is going to happen, it's going to happen. But a bad prophecy can always change. And so the purpose of the prophecy is like to warn us and to help us when we see that if we've done something that's going to bring danger upon us, we can fix it. So he begins again, Hoi banim sorin. This also is a concept that even when Hashem is angry with us, He shows His love. So how does He begin the prophecy? He calls us children. In other words, we're talking about banim sorin, children that have turned away. But the fact that He's calling us children, you know, you don't get angry at your children, or you do, it doesn't last, you know, they come back. In other words, that He's saying, woe is to my children that have turned away. We know the fact that He's calling us His children means that He's going to take us back. We're just like children. Children, they do things that aggravate their parents. That's what children are, right? That's the nature of it is. So, hoi banim sorim, they turn away, but they'll come back. Woe to the children that turned away. Now, this is the frustrating part, is they faced a problem. They faced an enemy. The army of Assyria was coming against them. And they could have sought advice from the sages, from the prophets, from Hashem. And instead, they didn't seek advice from me. They got bad advice. I want our children to know that they can come to us when there's a problem, because if they go somewhere else, sometimes children are too afraid of their parents' reaction to... sometimes if you say, I told you so, too much, they don't want to come to you because you're going to say, I told you not to do that, and that's... And instead, what you want is, in the end, when they do it anyways, you at least want that they'll come back to you and you'll try to help them. So, my children have turned away from me, and they know they have a problem, and so therefore they look for a solution. That's what an eitzah is. An eitzah is for a solution or for advice. In fact, the advisors in Hebrew are called a yoetz, yoatzim, the word that someone that gives advice, the yoetz. So they want eitzah, they want advice, v'lo mini, but not from me. Linsuk Masecha, there's a cover-up. The advice that they sought and that they leaned on, we're going to see, was that they relied on Egypt. They thought that their non-Jewish neighbor Egypt would help them out. We talked a little bit about this last week, that it was just interesting in modern times that Israel was relying on its peace treaty with Egypt, and just historically, we just can't rely on Egypt. It's just never been that was the mistake. We made that mistake before, that if we have challenges, we seek out Hashem, but if we rely on our neighbors to save us, v'lo ruchi, it's not within my spirit. L'man sofus chatos achatos, and they made the sin worse. In other words, the first sin was they turned away from me, and then when they saw they got in trouble, they made things even worse. They turned to the Gentiles, they turned to Egypt to help them. Now, what did they do? Verse 2, Ahochem l'redes mitzrayim. They went down to Egypt. Upi lo sholu. We've been to Egypt already. We don't need to go back there. And this was a time when they could have asked Hashem. They could have asked what was the, there was a vehicle to seek out guidance from Hashem. The prophets were a channel where they could speak to Hashem and find out what the future held. And so if somebody had a challenge, they could go to the prophet and seek advice. And they didn't. Who'd they go to? Who was their strength? Paro. Lachus v'tzel Mitzrayim. And they thought they would have shelter in Egypt. V'hayu lechem ma'oz. And that was their strength. That the same word as ooz is my strength. Their strength was Paro. Uleboshes. And shame on them. In other words, this is an embarrassment that instead of seeking out Hashem, who loves us and cares for us and has our best interest in mind and can help us fix the problem, instead we went to the pagans, to Paro, to help us out. Uksus b'tzel Mitzrayim u'klima, and that was an embarrassment to us. Ki hayu b'tzon sarav, and the Jewish advisors went down to the big cities in Egypt. One of them was called Tzon, the Malach of Chanes. That's the other two cities. They have excavation. These were the two major cities in Mitzrayim. One of them is on the Nile. I forgot where the other one is. The two major cities. Five. Kol hevish al am lo yoyel. And the embarrassment that we went to the Egypt and we invested in Egypt and it didn't help. Almost reminds us that before the was it the Yom Kippur War? I think so. The State of Israel invested in the African countries to help them build up the new countries in Africa. And they thought that the countries would help them. And then after the 6 day, I think it was the Yom Kippur War, they all joined the Arab embargo. And all the work that they had done didn't really help them. If you remember from Entebbe, there was a big miracle where Israel was able to save the prisoners that were hijacked there. One of the reasons they were able to save them was they built the airport. They had built the airport in the country because they had embarked on it was an interesting idea was that the Gentiles will all love us if we go and we'll help them out. And it just didn't happen. The Gentiles never love us. I shouldn't say that we don't want to help out Gentiles, but it's just Israel has to be a light into the nations. It has to work on being a moral country. It has to work on many, many things. And just in the things that other countries might help them don't necessarily help the Jewish people, because we have we exist as a nation supernaturally. There's an idea that the forefathers naturally weren't able to have children. When you think about it, especially at their age, you know, Avraham and Sarah and Rivka, but Hashem made a miracle that they were able to give birth, and we're a nation that lives through miracles, and we have our own rules. And it could be in other countries, if you want to be powerful and you want other countries to like you, you help them out, you build them up, and then they'll love you. But the problem here was not the problem that we face is that when Hashem is angry with us, he gets the other countries to be angry with us, and so we have to fix things between us and Hashem, and then we won't have to worry about our enemies. But over here, it's like working on the symptom and not actually fixing the problem. So the problem was that we had abandoned Hashem and we were turned away from His rules. And so when He brought enemies upon us, what did we do? We figured, well, we don't need Hashem. Let's just work it out with Egypt. They're going to save us from our enemies. And it was an embarrassing thing. Let's see what happens. Kol hivish al am lo yoyel lamo. And it was embarrassing because people invested so much into this that it wouldn't help. Lo le'ezer. And it never saved them. Lo yoyel ki leboshes gam lecherpa. And people made fun of us for this. What did they do? They sent tribute down to Egypt. And Egypt, in order to get the tribute to Egypt, you have to take it through the Sinai, which is a desert. It's very difficult to transport things through the desert. But that's what they did. They started shipping down the goods down to Egypt. Masid behemoth. They loaded up the animals and they sent them through the Negev, the Eretz Zarah v'tzuka. They had to send them through these deserts. Lavo, v'layish, mehen, afai, v'sorath, u'ma'ofes. They sent down all kinds of animals, lions and These things were considered valuable in ancient society. Certain animals, tame animals, other animals, and they carry them on their shoulders with all kinds of mules and lambs and bears and donkeys and otros. In other words, we went out of our way to send the gifts to the Egyptians so they would love us, and alam lo yo, it didn't help at all. And what did the Egyptians do when the nations, when Assyria attacked? The Mitzrayim, Hevel, Rich Yasu. They helped us nothing. So all of the investment, all of the work that people had put to securing the friendship of the Egyptians and making sure they were our ally and making sure they would come to our aid when we needed them, it didn't help at all. So instead of trying to see why Hashem was angry with us and why he was bringing a nation from afar to attack us, we said, well, we'll work out an alliance with Egypt and we'll have nothing to worry about. And they sent all their wealth down to Egypt. And when the enemy came, Lizos Rahav Haim Shavus, Egypt was just sitting there watching. That's the that's what he was saying about this advice about working with Egypt. This verse, 6, is just very colorful about the animals. Like, you can almost picture the caravan going down to Egypt. He says a mature lion, a young lion, and snakes, and all kinds of, like, I guess they transported the different animals to try to, I guess, like I said, the different rulers would take presents of different animals. That was like the, if you had exotic animals, that was a sign that you were something special. But in Europe, that was also well known. People
had their own zoos.
They had their own zoos, right, right, that's right. And so imagine trying to cart these animals off through the deserts and bringing along all of the, and they were sure the Egyptians would love us for this, and it would bind them to a treaty, and they would be secure, and they would come to our aid. And when the time came, it was a waste of time. Hevel v'rik. Hevel is like hot air, and rik is empty. Empty promises. Verse 8. Ata bo kisva aluach. And now he says, I want you to write this down, because you're going to remember. In other words, sometimes people forget that the when things are going to happen, they think it's just a chance. It just happened that way. They don't realize that it was part of Hashem's plan. And so what he did was, he says, I want you to write down what I'm going to tell you, so when it does happen, you'll realize it's from Hashem. You won't say it was an accident. You won't say, well, this could have happened to anyone. No, write this down. Write it in your notebook, item that you got. And engrave it. You know, in those days, they engrave it on the board. And you'll have it. You know, today we look at the prophecies and we think, well, this was written afterwards. No, it wasn't. It was written before. That was when Yeshaya lived. Isaiah was before all of the things happened. When things were good, that's when it was written. And if you write it down now, you'll have it there. Verse 9. Ki am merihu banim kahushim. Why is Hashem bringing trouble? Why was Hashem bringing a nation against us? So again, even in the rebuke, you can't forget this. See, the Christians, they just love these rebukes. They say, oh, the Jews are a sinful people. That's why, you know, they were rejected and we're the new ones, right? But they don't forget that Hashem was rebuking us because he loved us and he wants us to become better. And in the rebuke itself, he shows us that we will come back and we will he will again show us love, and but he calls us his children. And so the problem is, they show this to, like, the Messianics, and they say, oh, you see, Israel's a wicked people. God himself says so, you know, but they don't show you the whole prophecy where Hashem was rebuking people that were bad at a time because he wanted them to improve. And at the end of the prophecy says he loves us forever and we will improve. But they don't show that to the Messianics. They just show them the first part and they say, wow, you know, it must be it so. And this is one of their favorite books, by the way, Isaiah. But they do that. It's all pick and choose, pick and choose.
They quote all kinds of things from Isaiah, but as you say, they never do a complete paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
They pick out words. And
they pick out
whatever works for them.
Okay.
Yeah,
And in fact, so, you know, what does it say? The reason that Hashem was angry with us? Because, as we're in verse 9, he... I'm married to rebellious people, banim kachashim, it's like bad kids, banim la'avu shmoya Torah Hashem, we didn't want to listen to the Torah. So So what should you do? Become a Christian that doesn't follow the Torah, right? Does that make any sense? You know, it's the people who didn't want to listen to the Torah. Asher Omer Leroyim Lo Siru. The people would say, they had all kinds of seers and advisors, and the people had the opportunity to know what was happening. They didn't want to know. And that's the people had the chance to fix it, and they just turned away from it. They would say to the seers, "Don't see ulachozim lo sexu. We know what we're doing. Dibulana chalukas mistalacha. Speak to us in a smooth way." In other words, we want to hear. They almost picked their prophets. They chose. They heard what they wanted to hear. They listened to the reports that told them what they wanted to hear. Suru mini derek. They turned off the path. Hatu mini orach. Hashpisha meinu es kadosh Yisrael. They moved away from Hashem. So therefore, what will happen? Verse 12. Lekein kolmar kadosh Yisrael. This is what the Holy One of Israel says. Yan ma'afkem bedvar hazeh. Since you've rejected Hashem, v'tiftechu ba'oshech, and you relied on your robbery. You relied on a society that took advantage of others. V'nelozu v'tishanu olav. So therefore, lechein yia lechem ha'avon hazeh keperetz nofa, and this will be like a crack in the armor of the Jewish people. The fact that society had become corrupt, and people had taken gain that didn't belong to them. So, in a wall, you know, you saw what happened, like in Indonesia, you know, where the factory fell, the building fell down, or the when something isn't built well, it all of a sudden just collapses, and it just it's unexpected, but it's really because people don't see that there's decay there. So too, the nation of Israel will be like that. They'll think everything looks fine, all the walls are there, and then all of a sudden the wall will fall, just like a parrot's nofel niva b'chama niskava. Like you'll have this big wall, lepesa yavo shiver. All of a sudden there'll be a break and a crack. Even today we have like these sinkholes that appear out of nowhere, just very quickly can come out, and they had one in Florida that swallowed up somebody a while back.
The man was sleeping in the house.
So this is like that, like a sinkhole that'll just all of a sudden appear, and the walls will tumble out of the way. And ushavra kashaver naval yotrim, and people will think we're built up. How can this happen? He'll break it like you break pottery. Below yachmo, and he won't take pity. Below yimasu mikasu chersh latos esh, and you won't have. You say, well, even if he breaks it, there's still going to be pieces left. You won't find even a piece big enough to build a fragment. Mika lavshuv mayim megeva, or you won't. It'll be broken into many pieces. 15. Ki kol mar Hashem Elokim kadosh, that says the Holy One Israel. Now, that's the bad news. So now we get to the good news. So that's if we turn away from Hashem, that He'll bring the enemy upon us, and there'll be a break, and Egypt, who we hope for security, won't help. But what has Hashem said? B'shuva v'nacha tivashem. It will be saved in peacefulness, in teshuva. In other words, if you on your own turn to Hashem, that's how you'll be saved. And in a quiet way, it's not a big public thing. In other words, the people, it's a certain sincerity. Sometimes when people are under pressure, if they quietly evaluate what's going wrong and they decide to change, it's described as like a quiet process. This word nachas is like we usually wish people they should have nachas from their children. It means that it should be quiet. We should only hear good things, right? So this is like things will come quietly, very quietly. You'll be saved. Ubahashkate, with quietness. And trust. Tiagvurasam v'lo avisam. So the prophet was saying there is a way out, and it's not so hard. It's not going to take. It won't take major things. The Tomer, and what did the people say? Lo, no, that's not what we're going to do. Ki al sus, no, we got to run away. Al kain tenasu. You want to run away? That's what they're going to run away. Valkal Nirkav, Alkein, they thought they could run faster than the enemy. And what would happen is the enemy would be faster than them. They thought they'd buy a swift horse, or they'd, everybody thinks that they can escape. Alkein Yikalu Rotsin, those that chase them would be faster than them. Elef Echad, 1,000 people will flee from one. Mishnei Gara said one. In other words, the people will be fearful and they'll run away. Just they'll be like a panic. Echad Negaris Chamisha Tenasu. If five people shout, everybody will run away. Adin Tenosim Ketoren Al Rosh Ahar. They'll be like just like a little flag on top of a mountain, just a little bit. The Kenes Al Giva, and like a pole on top of a hill. In other words, there'll be just a small remnant that'll be left. Everybody will be so afraid, and everybody will run away. Verse 18, L'ken yikach Hashem l'chanchem. Because you didn't turn to Hashem, and because you thought you would escape it all, therefore Hashem isn't going, you're going to wait for Hashem to take you back. L'ken yom, and it's not going to happen right away. You're not going to find... Hashem takes us back so often that we take him for granted. We think it's just easy. We just turn to him, you know, he's going to take it. So because we take Hashem, if a person takes Hashem for granted, then when you turn to Hashem, he doesn't help a person right away. We have that concept that Hashem doesn't like being taken for granted. And sometimes people sin because they know that Hashem is merciful, and they know that whatever they do, they can turn to Hashem. But it turns out that if the reason they sinned is because Hashem is so nice, Hashem won't be so nice. You can't take a good thing and make it bad. It's like somebody takes advantage if you're good natured. In other words, they know that you're good natured and you won't hold against them, so they take advantage. If that's the reason they do it, therefore Hashem says, you're not gonna find favor in my eye. It won't be so easy. L'chein yorim l'ra, it's gonna be far away. Ki elokei mishpat Hashem ashrei. There's justice. Hashem has a justice in the world, and Ashrei Chol Chokelo, and the people that really hope to Hashem, they will be the lucky ones. Ki Am Sion Yoshev Yishalayim Bachu Lo Sifcha. Now we get to the good part. Some people see this as later. In other words, this wasn't right away. This might even be like a different prophecy, as we get into verse 19. So the beginning until here is the discussion of the people of his time as they were being challenged by Assyria, and the people were looking for other solutions. They were looking for help for Egypt. They were looking to run away faster. And they thought they could escape it, but they were missing the point. The point was that the people, Hashem was angry with them, and they needed to turn around to Hashem, and they weren't doing that. And so that's the prediction that he has there. Perhaps he put it together with this, or was put together with this other prophecy, which is a good prophecy, even though it's not that time. Again, just to... If you work selectively and you only look at the bad and not the good, then you could get depressed. You could say, look, it's, you know, Hashem is the God of justice and the God of Jews is the God. But if you don't see the love and the good, then the person doesn't see the right balance. And they have to see that. In other words, that there's justice in the world, and when people do things wrong, they get a reminder. And that's the way the world exists. But now he's referring to this different time that would be in the future, where the people would return to Hashem. Ki am b'tzion yeshe, people will again dwell in Zion. V'yushalayim b'chu lo sifcha, and they won't have to cry anymore. Chanan yechanka, and they will find favor in Hashem's eyes. So, like this previous verse was, you won't get Hashem's favor so fast. Like in verse 18, it says, l'chein yechach Hashem l'chanchem. Hashem won't show you favor. You won't find chen. It won't be so easy to get him to be on his good side anymore. And then here it says, don't cry anymore. You found the favor. And the difference is there. The people sinned and they said, oh, Hashem will take us back. Hashem said, not so fast. You know, you sinned because you took advantage of my good nature. But when the people will sincerely try to find favor, then we will find favor in Hashem's eyes. So don't cry. Lo sivka chanun yechanka. You'll find favor in Hashem's side. L'kol sakecha. He'll hear your voice. Kishamaso anek. When you cry out, he'll answer you. And what will he do? The v'nosin lechem Hashem lechem tsar umayim lachatz. He's going to feed you. You're going to get. You'll be re-nourished. It implies. It's interesting. It doesn't say you'll have a party. It implies that you'll have just enough. Rashi says that the people were into big parties and into the food and into the physical, and so he's saying that in the times of the Mashiach, when Hashem saves you, the food won't be so important. You know, you look at our society, like the advertising. You know, everything is about food, cars, you know, vacations, like all of the. But you don't hear spiritual advertisements, you know, like learn how to be a better person, learn how to work on your temper, learn how to be more patient, learn how to be able to help people a little bit more. You don't see those kind of advertisements, but that's what people really will need. In other words, in that time, a little bit of bread, a little bit of water will be fine. Below yiknof od marecha. And sometimes we talk about this, there's this prophecy that we have that people will be hungry, but not for food. They'll be hungry for the words of Hashem. And there is a challenge sometimes that a person has questions and they have no one to ask them to, or they're looking for guidance and they can't find it. It's actually today you could look on the internet, but you could find, there's so much out there until you find the right things. There's a blessing when a person sees their teachers. They're able to find that guidance nearby. So it implies over here that you'll be able to see your teachers. You'll be able to get that guidance. You won't have to seek out your teachers. Vayinecha royes morecha. They actually quote this sometimes when they show you, like, they have like pictures of famous leaders or whatever. Your eyes will see your teachers. So. But it means that you'll. A person will find the guidance nearby. They won't have to, you know, they'll actually get to see it. They won't have to hear that there's some wise person far out, but they'll actually see it up close. And you'll be able to hear it with your own ears. And you know what? Where it'll be? It'll be right behind you. Sometimes you look all over the world and you got to travel, and the best things are right behind you. It'll be the advice, you'll be able to hear it right behind you, and what it'll do is it'll say, Zeh HaDerech, this is the way. This is the path. This is what we've been waiting for. What am I supposed to do? So we'll find that guidance, and it'll be the path, go on. Kitaminu v'kitasmiu. You go to the right, you go to the left. The path will be revealed to us. Now, part of turning over a new leaf and leading the right lifestyle is abandoning the things that we did that were wrong. In those days, mostly what they did with the wrong were idols. And so, once you turn to Hashem, you'll have to throw out your idols. You'll have to. So, we often read this and we say that doesn't apply to us, but we're very mistaken, because an idol was just one type of thing that the people turned to. We have plenty of replacements. In other words, we have plenty of, even though we don't have little statues we worship, we have plenty of things that we do that, just like idols, are need to be disposed of. Some people, it's interesting, they often talk about the idol being the gold and the silver. Some people claim that money has become people's idol.
Yeah.
And you hear non-Jews will say that. They feel like that, you know, people worship money. That's the only thing that's important to people. And to some extent, certain people, maybe we do overvalue money. Money has become our God. Money's everything. Maybe money isn't everything. There are other ideas. Sometimes people have their pride, you know, is their idol. In other words, they're just into their pride, their haughtiness, and they worship themselves. And that's also, that's not the way a person is supposed to be humble. You know? So
the ideology, the communism.
Yeah, people thought it would save the world. That's true.
Yeah.
What's interesting also about communism was that people gave their lives for it. They gave up everything. They abandoned their families. Some of them turned their own families in because they thought this would. But it became like an. It's so funny because they wanted to. They were against religion, and they turned communism into a religion, which is just. I often see this. You know, people often accuse the Orthodox as being, you know, fundamentalists, and we're so into it. But really, all people have certain things that they are fully into. In other words, there are things that people are engaged in their life. So, you know, so we daven three times a day, and one day a week we shut down and we turn. So isn't that extreme? But you meet people that aren't necessarily religious, and they'll sleep overnight to get tickets to a certain singer that's coming, or a certain thing, and they'll spend thousands of dollars, and they are more engaged in their things, or at least as engaged as we are in our lifestyle. In other words, they replace. A person needs to be engaged in things in life, and so if he's not engaged in religion, there are plenty of other things, and most of those other things that people are involved in are not as they're idols. They're just other things that people can worship, whether it be whatever pleasures it is that they like or they're into. But they're just as extreme. We just find it funny that, but they don't realize it. In other words, they look at it and they say, "Wow, how could you? You know, you're so into this. You do that. I could never have that many have that rigid of a lifestyle." And yet, in the things that they do, they are extremely rigid. Whatever that is, whether it's their music or whether it's their sports or whether it's their, it's got to be just so. Even some people are rigid about beer. You know, it's got to be exactly the right temperature, and it's got to be the right brew, and it's got to be. People can be passionate about anything. It's really, so it's just interesting. So the.
It's more than money.
I have a teenage son that he worked to buy himself a smartphone. He has a smarter phone than I do, you know, whatever, it's a newer, you know, but he was just convinced that this would buy him, you know, the amount of hours that he had to work to get that, because, like you said, the thing, society has people convinced that they got to have the things. So these are the things that, metamesis, that people have to throw away. They have to go on the good path, but they also have to be able to throw away the idols. The silver idols, the Saputis Maseka, and the gold idols. Tizerem, you got to throw them away. Kamodava, something that, say, it has to be that a person gets rid of them. He has to say, it has to become unclean to a person. A person has to be able to get rid of their bad habits. Venosan, Matar, Zarecha, She Tizre, Sadama. And when you do that, then Hashem will give the rain, and the good things will grow. Lechem, and there'll be bread, v'hayodoshin, v'shemen, and there'll be fat, and yir miknechat, and that'll solve all the problems. When you're doing acting in the way in which Hashem wants, then things will be good. And then your property, your animals will increase. Kar nirchav, they'll be like fat and rich, and there'll be pasture. Va'alofim, va'yarim. And the oxen and the donkeys of the Adama, the Leo Chametz, they'll have like good food, and they'll grow, and they'll be like I guess in a time of famine there was no food, and Hashem was saying there'll be food everywhere, and it'll be what about the water? I'll call Har Gavo now. In those days, with the idols, people went on top of every tall mountain. On every hill, they would put up an idol. In other words, part of the idolatry was, it wasn't like a private kind of thing with idols. The people that were into idols were missionaries. They went out, and people would travel, and you'd find some abandoned mountaintop, there'd be an idol on top of it. You'd go to a certain tree, the idolater had carved his idol into the top of the tree. And that was what they had done. And so you'd find idols everywhere in out-of-the-way places. So it says on these mountaintops, on these mountains or the valleys, these idols will be like killed, or the people will be killed, the priests to these idols. And these towers will fall down. Now, it's an interesting thing. So again, he's describing the end of time when the idols and the religions that people worship will fall. And he says an interesting thing. He says, "V'haya ora halavana ka'ora chama," and the light of the moon will be the light of the sun. So this is a symbolism. It goes back to, there's a famous medrash that says that when Hashem created the luminaries, He created the sun and the moon. And so initially there's an idea that in creation, in the ideal world, it would be nice if nobody had to play second fiddle. It'd be nice if nobody had to come in second. And so the moon came to Hashem, or the angel behind the moon, and said, we can't have two leaders. We can't have two great luminaries. One of them has got to be the top. So Hashem said, you're absolutely right. So I'll make the sun on top, and you're going to be secondary. That was a good idea, right? And that's... he had in mind that he would be the top, but whenever a person tries to be the boss of someone else, that shows a person's own insecurity. And so Hashem had to lessen the moon. It means that we're put in a world where we have to play second fiddle. It's a shame. There are times in life when we have to be somebody. You can't have two leaders. You can't have two presidents. You can't have two kings. You can't have... There's somebody's got to be the head. Somebody's got to lead. And sometimes we have to be the moon. So there's an idea that when Mashiach comes, Hashem will make it up to us. And in other words, the moon will come back. That's part of the symbolism of the when we once a month we make a blessing on the moon, on the new moon. And there's an idea that we live in a world where we have to compromise, and sometimes we have to play second fiddle. But it's okay, because it's part of the test, and the moon eventually will come back. So that's what it says, like the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And that's the idea, that we shouldn't take it to heart if there are times when we have to play second fiddle, when we're not as bright, you know, where we allow someone else to go first. You lose nothing, you know. You're driving, and there's another car, and you say, oh, you know, you motion, let the other guy go. Nothing happens, you know. There's still traffic for everybody. You're going to get as much traffic as you're expected to have. And in fact, the manners that a person learns by letting someone else go first, that ensures eventually his light will be brighter. And so that's implied here in verse 26. V'haya ora levana ka'ora chama. Then the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And what will that light be? What will the light of the sun be? Yishivasayim or shivasayamim. In initial creation, Hashem wanted the world to be just good. He created his initial thoughts were, why do we need suffering in this world? Let's just have a good world. Let's have an enjoyable world. And he saw that a world can't exist like that. There needs to be in order for good to be good, it needs to be something that people choose, and it needs to be something that people work for, and people need to see that there is something that's not good in order to appreciate the good. And so it says that Hashem hid away the light, or some of the light, and that light will come in the end of days. And so it's all inferred over here that the light will come back, or shivas hayamim, like the light of the original days. The Yom Chavash Hashem Ashever Amo, and Hashem will heal the injury. We're an injured people. We're a people that went through Holocaust and went through lots of things, but there'll be a Band-Aid. There'll be a healing. Umachat Makasa Yifre, and then Hashem will heal the wounds that He had to apply. Okay, we'll stop here on 27.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the Donate link. Thank you very much.